Let us turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and reading some verses from verse 1. Deuteronomy 33 and from the first verse. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Yeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Then on to verse 12. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. This chapter contains the last words of Moses. The Lord will soon call him home to heaven and leave the people of Israel to Joshua, his successor. However, before this, Moses has one last duty to perform, to convey the Lord's blessing to each of the 12 tribes. And this he does in this chapter, as we see. And we have read just one of the blessings upon one of the tribes in verse 12, and of Benjamin. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. These things are what this tribe enjoys in the special favour of God. And literally, the Lord fulfilled this, because later on in the Old Testament, we find that when the tribe of Benjamin settled in Canaan, God gave them his territory, or their territory, near where Solomon built the temple. And the part of Jerusalem where the temple was lay in the territory of Benjamin. The rest of it was in the territory of Judah. So he dwelt safely by him, that is God. In other words, the people of the tribe of Benjamin were favoured to dwell near the temple at Jerusalem. And since God was spoken of as having taken up his abode, his dwelling place in the temple, the people of the tribe of Benjamin dwelt in safety by God, by the temple. Now, even the imagery here fits, because it also says that not only does the tribe of Benjamin dwell in safety near God in the temple, but that he shall dwell between his shoulders. And there were two mountain ridges, Mount Zion and Mount Moriah, on which the temple was built. And the tribe of Benjamin, their territory lay between these two mountain ridges. So geographically they were like two shoulders for the people of Benjamin to dwell between. He shall dwell between his shoulders, those two mountain ridges. And so these things were literally fulfilled in the after history of the tribes in Israel. However, it would be a great loss to leave it there and think that there is nothing more than simply the faithfulness of God in fulfilling this promised blessing to Benjamin. That would be a blessing in itself to us. But there is more, because in these words here, you have a spiritual application. Think of Benjamin as representing every true believer. The beloved of the Lord is what he is called as the head of the tribe of Benjamin and all the members of that tribe, of course. But what are Christians called? Romans 1 verse 7, beloved of God. And so it's the same God to his people, to our day, to ourselves, the same covenant favour. And these words illustrate similar blessings in principle. And in order to see what this means for every real Christian, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all day, all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. In order to see what this means, let's ask the question, what does love do? Because it's for the beloved of the Lord. And firstly, love cherishes, doesn't it? The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, by God. Now, when Benjamin, as a youngster, was young, he was greatly loved by his father Jacob, wasn't he? And he is called Jacob's little one. He was that last born of his sons and a special favourite after Joseph. In Genesis 44 and verse 20, the older brothers say, "We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his father loveth him." And how beloved little Benjamin was to Jacob, and how he cherished him. But you see, the beloved of the Lord, the Heavenly Father, shall dwell in safety by him. And it's a picture of our gracious Father. And time again, our blessed Lord seeks to bring home to us how precious are Christians to the Father in heaven. And he follows this kind of language, dwelling in safety. In Matthew 18, verse 10, for instance, he says, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." And what a precious thing that is. Little ones, that's a picture of disciples, says Jesus, like little children. They are not to be despised. The Lord will not have his people be despised, looked down on. And as if to issue a warning about this, he says, "In heaven their angels, our angels, always behold the face of my Father, says Jesus, which is in heaven." In other words, our Lord is saying some precious things here. You and I are not to be despised, because we have angels who before our Father in heaven are there waiting for their orders from him to come down into this world and have charge over us to keep us in all our ways and to look after us on behalf of our gracious God. We are beloved of him. We dwell in safety by him. And God makes sure that our safety is there by the ministry of angels, the great heavenly host who surround us. And wherever we go, the atmosphere is thick with the angels of heaven to protect us and bless us. Hebrews 1 verse 14, ministering spirits sent forth from heaven to minister unto us who are the heirs of salvation, final salvation in heaven. And it's interesting, isn't it, that here in Matthew 18:10, Jesus doesn't say that his people are not to be despised. In heaven, their guardian angel always beholds the face of my Father which is in heaven. It's not just one angel that each Christian has. They're angels, the heavenly host. It debunks this idea that there is a guardian angel for one Christian and that we all have our special angel to look after us. God does better than that. We are so beloved of the Lord, we are to dwell in safety by him, that God gives charge to innumerable angels to ensure that safety and to ensure that love takes the form of that cherishing of his people while we are in this world. Another aspect is this. We know that Benjamin was beloved not only for his own sake, but especially because of someone else. Benjamin was the son of Jacob's most loved wife, Rachel. And there was, therefore, a union. Rachel and this son whom she bore to Jacob. And it was a union that meant that Jacob almost loved Rachel in Benjamin. He was the last remaining of those two boys born to Rachel, who was a standing reminder to him of his beloved Rachel. Joseph was not, as far as Jacob knew, but little Benjamin was beloved, and beloved for his mother's sake, for Rachel's sake. And every time Jacob saw the lad, Benjamin, he saw and loved Rachel there. And can you see the picture? We, as Christian believers, are beloved of the Lord and dwell in safety by him, because God the Father loves us, because he has decided and determined to love us. But he also loves us for another's sake, because of union with that other. And who is that? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And when God the Father from heaven said that of his beloved son, he was also speaking of all the elect in union with his son, beloved of the Lord through union with Christ. And that's a wonderful truth, dear friends, because the Father's affection toward us is there because his Father's affection is toward his Son. And we are in Christ. And the Father never considers us apart from our oneness with Jesus, any more than Jacob would consider Benjamin apart from his family union with Rachel, his favorite and well beloved. And what a great comfort that is. You and I do not stand as separate people and God looking down upon us and seeing us in ourselves. We are collectively seen as in union with that Redeemer, God's well beloved Son, and we loved for his dear sake as well as for our sakes. How can God the Father not love us who loves his Son? How can God the Father change in his love toward you, since he will never change in his love toward his Son? How can God the Father ever not think of you, or turn away from you, or do anything against you, when he would never be like that towards his own Son? There is an organic, spiritual, everlasting union between Christ and all his people in him. And we are beloved of the Lord because Jesus is beloved of the Lord, the Father in heaven. What a precious, precious truth that is. And we are cherished. And Jesus being dear to God means we are dear to God in him. How do you think of yourself as a Christian? Don't think of yourself as you see yourself or imagine yourself to be in all your unworthiness and sinfulness and failure, but think of yourself as God thinks of you and sees you, which is safely in his dear Son. And you are the beloved of the Lord. And look at this other part. Shall dwell in safety by him. So near to God. Psalm 91 and verse 1 speaks of he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, there's nearness to God. Because if God is overshadowing you by his presence, you're right there close to him. And he's right there close to you. The shadow of the Almighty. This is where you are. How can you be anything other than safe? God not only gives his angels charge to overshadow and protect us, but it's the Lord's own presence who is there to guard us and keep us and be that place of comfort and blessedness. And when you come to God in prayer, don't see it as traversing some great distance, but see it simply as acknowledging that you're under the shadow of the Almighty. His eyes are over you. His ears are open to your prayer. You can talk to him because he's made you near in his Son. You are beloved and you dwell in safety by him. When you need help, that help has not so much got to be sent as if there's some delay before it can reach you. The help is there in the very presence of the Lord as you are beloved and you dwell in safety by him. You're tempted. The Lord can hold you up, can preserve you, give you victory in temptation and bring you safely through and deliver you from evil because he's right there. You dwell in safety by him. You're not at the mercy of the wicked one, the devil, or at the mercy of circumstances or your own desires and lusts and inward corruptions, but rather you dwell in safety by him. And it's the felt presence of God that wonderfully keeps us, isn't it? And that felt presence which says to us, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And so we're kept. And his holy and loving presence and our safety by him means that we're brought through. And the great incentive to holiness itself is this, isn't it? Why is it that we want to walk in the narrow way of his precepts and obey him and live to please him? and reject sin and choose holiness. Because he is here, right here, and we dwell in safety by him, right? By him. And that is the great thing, the fear of the Lord, the tender fear of the Lord, whereby our great concern is his smile, and our great dread is his frown. And our great prayer is, Lord, sanctify me, holy. Weaken the effect of corruptions in me. And strengthen every grace and virtue and every fruit of the Spirit. Holiness and service. What great incentive is there to deny oneself and serve him in the work of the gospel, in ministering to other people's needs, putting oneself out? No, it's not putting oneself out. Look, he is over us. He is right there with us. We dwell by him as the beloved of the Lord. And it's a labour of love, isn't it? It's a high privilege to do anything for his dear sake because he is worthy. And it's all in love, not in grim determination to do our duty, but marvellous motivation. When Jacob was serving 7 years for his Rachel, of whom would come Benjamin, the days seemed but a few, the years rather seemed but a few days for the love he had for her. Love makes the labour light. It's a tremendous spring, isn't it? A mainspring that prompts us and empowers us to do his will for the sake of others and for the glory of his name. So near to God, this cherishing love of God means that we cherish to please him and to be a blessing to others. That's part of this blessing. But let's look at another aspect. It's not only that love cherishes the beloved who is safe by him, but love protects. In safety, the Lord shall cover him all the day long. And dear friends, we do need protection, don't we? If love will make us know that we are loved, love will also make us know that we are truly safe in times of danger. There are some lovely metaphors, aren't there, in the Bible too, express this. In the same Psalm 91, what about verse 4? He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. It's the mother bird protecting the chicks, bringing them close by her side, and then putting her wings over them so that they're completely covered and hidden by the strong wings and the outer feathers which protect, and the soft downy breast feathers there against which they are wonderfully pressed for their felt security and warmth. And that's what God is like. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. What they could have had. Ah, but dear friends, we would, because we've been made willing in the day of his power, and we've been drawn, and we've been brought under the wings, and we dwell there in safety, and he covers us all the day long. All the day long. What a great thing that is. Every new day you waken to having been under the wings of the Eternal. And you go into each day under those protecting wings. covered by God. Sometimes the morning can feel like an unpromising beginning, can't it, to the day. It can seem a most difficult time to have to encounter with little motivation to get going and feeling heavy and apprehensive, fearful, depressed. Could wish you could stay in bed all the day and just be covered by the duvet and just keep to that place of warmth and security. But you know, that is no solution. If you did it, it wouldn't lead you anywhere. But you can get out of that, and you can know that you are covered by something far more wonderful for your security. The Lord shall cover you all the day long. You can cast off the bed covers, and you can know that you rise to still being covered by an infinitely more wonderful covering. And whatever will happen in that day, who has it got to pass through first? If God is covering us over, nothing can touch us of itself without coming first through God. And even the worst of calamities, the most terrible of events that may happen in life, God has screened it, filtered it, sanctioned it, passed it, governed and affected it, so that when it touches us, it is no worse than what God would have it be, and He will turn it to our good. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Everything comes to us through Him. And notice, all the day, all the day long. Sometimes days seem long, don't they? It's a long day when it's a hard day, a difficult day, a trying day, but all the day long covered by the loving presence of God. And of course it links with a verse later in this chapter when it comes to the blessing of the tribe of Asher in verse 25. The latter part of that verse says, "And as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And you see, all the day long, covered by God, and strength imparted to us. It's interesting, isn't it? As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Strength equal to the need. There's more than one as and so in the Bible, isn't there? So that we are assured that proportionately, whatever the need might be, God will match His grace and provision to that need for you. And notice, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. I didn't know we had any strength. Well, we haven't. How come it's thy strength? Well, because it's God's strength made ours, so that it becomes our strength. And that's the extent to which God can change us and make us strong, even though we are weak. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Covered all the day long. Love protects, you see, by preventing any real harm coming to us, and love protects by preventing our weakness, making us helpless. But we'll have the strength that we need. And then one further thing here. Love supports. Notice, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. How is that fulfilled? Well, we know, as we've said, that the people of Benjamin had part of their territory between the two mountains, two mountain ridges, Zion and Moriah. But how do we dwell between the shoulders of God? Well, the most obvious part between any person's shoulders is the chest, isn't it? The bosom. Goliath, the giant Goliath, had great brass covering on his between his shoulders, it says, front and back, I guess, as part of his armour. And he thought that he would be impregnable for that. But you see, the Lord supports those he loves and protects between his shoulders. Let's fast forward and come to the time when God's dear Son is in the world. And mothers were there with their small children, listening to Jesus teach out of doors. And mothers with children, their natural desire is that some special thing might be done for their little child. And what more natural than for mothers to bring their infants and toddlers to Jesus for him to bless them? And in Mark 10 verse 16, he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Now, I don't know about you, but when I pick up one of our little grandchildren, I pick the little one up and I hold the little one to me, facing me, and that little one is in effect dwelling between my shoulders because leaning upon my chest. And when our Lord would have picked up one of these little infants or toddlers, whatever size, he would have picked them up facing the little child, and he would have put his hand on their head and granted that individual his blessing. And that child dwelt between the shoulders of the Son of God on his very bosom and had a blessing. And was the beloved of the Lord dwelling in safety by him? It's an amazing thing. And we're not sure what the nature of this blessing was. Whether it was a saving blessing or whether it was a general blessing of good that would come to the individual in life. But we can be quite sure that each of those little ones that had that place and that blessing, they would have never forgotten that for the rest of their lives. And ever after they would have imagined and thought what was done for them. That hand that was upon their head, that those words that were spoken over them, that great thing that happened to them in their lives. But dear friends, that's a picture of where we are too. And remember the Last Supper, John 13 verse 25. The disciples were ranged around the low table, and the Lord was there, and he mentioned about one who would betray him. Now, you know that the table in the East, in that culture, was not a high table where we sit upright on chairs. It was a very low table where the guests would recline away from the table, sort of almost leaning on their elbows, and be picking food with their hand and drinking wine and so on. And so they would be ranged around the table, and each one would be leaning back. So the one in front would be leaning toward their front like that. And John happened to be leaning toward the Lord Jesus. And it actually says that he leaned on his breast. And so John, who was very close to Jesus, said, "Who is it, Lord?" And you see, he dwelt between his shoulders. And how often we've thought of that, haven't we? John, the beloved disciple, lying on Jesus' breast. That's a picture of reclining trust and loving resting, leaning upon our beloved, dwelling between his shoulders. And it's a picture of affection, but also of strength, because the shoulders are the great, strong, load-bearing part of the physical frame, aren't they? Whenever you try and lift something, you put it on your shoulder. You won't put it on your elbow or on your forearm like that, because there's no strength. But there's terrific strength there, because the whole skeleton can bear the weight. And God's heart of love and God's mighty strength. And it's all there, isn't it? He shall dwell between his shoulders. Let me give you another picture of it in Isaiah 40 and verse 11. This is exquisite. Here is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus. And it's along the same lines. The combination of love and strength. Isaiah 40 and verse 11. Look at this. "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom." The Eastern Shepherd, if there was a little lamb that was struggling to keep up with the rest of the flock, sometimes reach down and pick it up and actually carry the little lamb on his arm, and his chest would bear the weight of the lamb. And it's the relationship between the shepherd and an individual lamb. And lamb can stand for weakness and for felt need when we're ill, when we're tired and weary, when we feel dreadfully empty and poor and wretched and can hardly keep going. The lambs of the flock, he gathers them, and he doesn't expect them to keep up and pull them along or drive them from behind, but reaches down and gathers them with his arm, carrying them in his bosom. They dwell between his shoulders. That's the Son of God. That's Christ. And you see, the bosom, love, and the arm, strength. The two there. And it's a very precious thing, because when we are lambs, our very need means that we enjoy more of the Good Shepherd. He pays special attention to his lambs. When we're small and weak and feeble and helpless, it is then that he's nearest, and it is then that he's ministering to us. It is then that we are on his bosom and on his arm. What a tremendous place to be. The beloved of the Lord, you see, dwelling between his shoulders. And God says quite clearly in figurative language that this is how it is with all his people. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4, encouraging us again this way. He says, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, even to hoar hairs will I carry you." There's that sense of being borne up, supported, upheld, and divinely carried through. "I will carry and I will deliver you, even to your old age, right the way through life. And notice the contrast with those words in the opening of that chapter. Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and were heavy loaden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Isaiah in the spirit is mocking the idols of Babylon. And when Babylon gets conquered, those idols that represent their gods, they're conquered as well. And they're being carried away on wagons by the enemy. They're jogging along on these wagons. They couldn't help themselves, let alone help their worshippers. And then they're a burden to the weary beast on these wagons. They're a pathetic failure. But the Lord says, oh, my people, you haven't got a religion like the Babylonians. You've got to carry or can be carried away in defeat and disgrace. Your religion is me carrying you. And even unto old age, I am he. And to hoar hairs will I carry you. People do have a religion they have to carry, don't they? And sometimes it gets carried away in failure. People who worship in a certain way, a mere formal religion, worship idols of the Roman Catholic Church or the idols of more heathen religions, it's a thing they carry. It's a thing they've got to support themselves almost and defend, and it doesn't do anything for them. But if you tell them that they're wrong, they'll fly at you and fight their corner. And then when sad things happen in life, these things are no use. And that which brings them down brings those down as well. They're useless. But we who know the Lord himself, the true and living God, who counts us beloved and has us in safety and covers us, he has us dwelling between his shoulders, carried along, carried through, all the way to glory. When he'll have us in heaven, nearer to him than ever before, and forever and ever. And what is heaven, dear friends? But closing your eyes in death and opening your eyes and finding yourself in the bosom of God forever. What a glorious prospect. This is where we are now. That is where we shall be then. When grace becomes glory, when faith is turned to sight, hope to realization, and love is perfected forever. Dear Benjamin, they were a favored tribe in a favored place, but that was only a dim shadow and type of how favored all the Lord's people are. May it be so, and may we enter into the good of it for the glory of his name. Let us sing together hymn 627.